Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, coming to you here from the North Park Building at Academy Square. Happy to have all of you along with us on a Wednesday night, episode 237 on deck, spending a little bit of time focusing on some of the action that happened over the weekend in a very sticky, nasty studio right now. It is gross up here. They gave us a warning. The heat index was going to be a little bit too hot to run the stuff up here, and it wasn't a wise decision to be on the third floor. After the afternoon podcast went through on Monday, they asked if we could move it, so we shifted it to today. And right now the paper is basically so wet that it was hard to write on as we were making notes for the show. But nonetheless, we persevere. We are here. A lot of action happening over the course of the weekend. We're going to be talking with a couple drivers who found some success. Austin Williams is waiting in the wings right now following his run out at the Morris Fair, Otsego County Fair, with spinning wheels. We're also kind of going to be catching up with Corey Klug, who took a win in Dixon County Fair, and he had to battle it out with Kenny Rosna, which was got to be a feather in his cap. We'll be talking with him, and then we're going to round it out with Kerry Squires, who picked up a win in at the Medina County Fair in Ohio. Kerry Squires, also known to everybody as Darby Sprinkles, we'll be talking with him a little bit about his alter ego, the win, and some of the action that's coming up here on the 13th. I anticipate he'll be in action over at the Erie County Fair in Sandusky, Ohio, this weekend, sort of hometown fair for him. So let's get with Austin first. We'll throw the winners from Morris after this, but Austin coming away with a win in the limited well division at the Otsego County Fair under spinning wheels. It was a great win, to say the least, for you, Austin. Any thoughts on how it came about?
Well, I mean, I had a great time out there. It's kind of crappy that we only had two cars, but I mean, the track was a little sloppy. It was hard to turn, but finally got a win with spinning wheels, and we ran as hard as we could out there. Had lots of fun.
This was the wagon that you had in the spring show, correct?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that car, the car selection, and what you got to do to make that thing tough.
Well, me and my brother, we've been running these Fords. It's actually a 77 LTD wagon. Mm-hmm. And I changed it from a coil spring rear and put a leaf spring in it with a 3/4 ton braced rear that I made myself.
Right.
And then we followed the rules and pressurized the front of it with a cradle that I made for a 5.3 LS that we got. And I ended up finally going out and buying a trans brace for my turbo 400 with a steel bell. Mm-hmm. And we put it all in there, and I kind of find a little loophole in the rules, and we pressurized her in there and stuck kickers in it, and it bent a little bit, but not too bad.
How far back did it push?
Pushed probably a good 2-3 inches.
Yeah. So the LS, is that something that just came out of a junkyard that you built on your own, or is that something that you've went to one of the big manufacturers for?
I actually built it on my own. It was a engine we pulled out of a 2002 Chevy truck, and I actually got reading on everything, and we did a 5.3 engine and put 4.8 pistons in it, which have a flat top.
Okay.
Put up the compression in it.
Right.
And then this year we decided to go with Jeffy Fab Farms fuel injection setup, and I love it so far.
How's that fuel injection come together? Is it difficult to get that to, I mean, the LS already had a fuel injection system in it from the get-go, right, in 2002?
Yep. Well, it was actually pretty easy. I mean, his, yeah, all of his wiring and everything is plug and play. Everything's labeled perfect, and you plug it right in and go.
what's the story with the limited weld situation? Spinning wheels has a nice set of rules. Last year they were getting, you know, 8 or so cars. I saw some posts. Chad Winnie had a, looked like he had a fuselage body style Imperial ready to go. What's the status with the limited welds right now in terms of what the cars are allowed, what the rule book allows? By definition, it says limited weld. It seems like the cars are a little bit heavier than what the typical limited weld in the Northeast is, but you guys seem to have found a home there.
Well, I mean, it's a great class. The hardest thing I think is that people starting off. I mean, last year we ran against Pete Hansen and a couple other guys that, I mean, they've been established for quite a few years. They got quite a few wins under their belt, and they got a lot more supplies than we do. And the biggest thing about the limited weld class is starting off. And then, I mean, it definitely takes a toll on your bank account.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's hard to compete with a limited weld compared to running a four-cylinder when you look at it price-wise and you can run a $200 four-cylinder for a $1,500 payout in the end compared to run one of these limited welds.
So is it worth it then?
Well, to me, it's definitely worth it.
Now, you spent a little bit of time in the compacts, right, before you got into running the division that you're in now, the limited weld cars?
I've actually only run one compact in my life.
Okay. I thought you had more time in those. So that being said, you jumped into some deep water fairly fast versus somebody else who might spend a little bit of time in the compacts. And is this a division that you would have to move up into, or could somebody come off the bench and start in that limited weld class and be competitive?
I guess it all depends on who you got helping you. I mean, we've had quite a few people that we admire starting off, and we've checked out their cars and really looked into everything, studied stuff. I mean, we went out to Bash this year and really got our heads wrapped around everything out there. And, I mean, starting off, it'd be a little rough for somebody starting off. But, I mean, you get one run under your belt and you look at the other cars and, I mean, you learn a lot.
Now, you see a lot of Mark Zaccardi too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that one of the guys that you studied and watched quite a bit?
Oh, definitely.
What
can build a car?
he can. You know, I remember watching that orange number 12 do battle a bunch of times in Morris and at Wheel Days, and motor always sounds good. The car always holds together well. You were out there in the spring and ran into a little bit of a challenge on the track with it being a little bit soft, and then ran into a buzzsaw with Cody Riley bringing his Bash for Cash car out there. And after doing some cutting, got it to fit within the rules of that limited weld world. Pete Hansen, as you alluded to last year, ran all over the place with that car that also ran the Bash for Cash. We saw Matt Gaskin come up with a win last year at Seneca County in that, and they called it the Mod Heat that he ran that in, and he had to cut the car down a little bit. Donnie Hartzell has had his Bash for Cash car out in the past. You start looking at the names and start looking at where these cars are coming from, but it's got that label of limited weld. Does it come down solely to just having the budget to build this type of car, or is there more to it in your eyes?
It does come down to the budget. I mean, last year, me and my brother, we tried to build some halfway decent cars we thought were good and ran into class. And, I mean, we were just starting off, so, I mean, we went pretty cheap with everything. And they don't hold up to the shots that everybody else can put on.
Sure.
But, I mean, if you could go out there and you really knew how to drive, I'm sure you could go with a pretty decent build for a pretty cheap price.
So what's special about the 77 Ford?
Honestly, I've always wanted to run one of these wagons because we've been running Lincolns.
Right.
And the Lincolns and the Mercurys, the four-doors, have pretty much the same frame. And I just love the way they are, love the way they bend, and we figured them out pretty good so far.
Is that when the frame, I know in 77 for Chevy, that was when the frame switched over, if I recall correctly, for like the more common Caprice and Oldsmobile and Buick body styles for what you saw throughout the mid-80s, and it seemed to, I think that stayed in place almost until like 91 or 92. Did Ford make that same change that year as well? Is that similar to the box-style Fords and box-style Lincolns frames that you saw in the mid-80s?
I think, honestly, Ford didn't change it until probably about 79, 80.
Okay, so it was a little bit later.
Yep.
So that's where we get into all those discussions about thickness of metal and the type of metal and how the old iron was just, the old iron stuff, it was just heavier. It's just heavier. It's different. It's different to work on, and it's different with what you can do with the geometries and the tensions you can put on it when you're doing your pressurizations.
Yep.
Do you feel then, you know, we talked a little bit about the budget thing, and we talked about how you'd done some building of the equipment on your own, and at the same token, you weren't able potentially to do some of the same hits that some of these other guys were doing. First question is, what did you do in terms of a bumper? Because that seems like that's so important. And then second, do you feel like a guy in our area anyway, with limited weld rule sets that you've got, with there's some other limited weld events coming up with spinning wheels specifically and at Brookfield Wheel Days, can a guy build all of his own stuff and still be competitive and try and save a little bit of money there?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing just comes down to time. I mean, I definitely have a lot of time in this car because I saved my money as much as I could, and I built everything on it.
Sure. What about in terms of bumpers? I mean, what's your take on that, and what's that mid-70s Ford prefer in terms of a bumper? Something harder, something lighter, something home-built, something loaded? You know, we've seen those guys down in Virginia, down in the Woodstock area, who really like those mid-70s Ford, those 74, 5, 6 LTDs are pretty popular down there.
Well, I've ran quite a few of them in a stock class, and honestly, a little bit softer bumper on the front of them is awesome in a stock class.
Why do you say that?
Because the bumper gives a little bit, and it actually gives the frame time to give a little bit too, because if you put one that's too hard on it, like a lot of these guys like to run these pointies and everything, you put one of them on it, it'll bend right in front of the arms. It'll nose it right up.
But at least it's going up at that point, right? It's not pitching down and ripping your core support down?
Yep.
We've seen some of that. You put a bumper on that, it's too heavy, and things get ugly quick when it starts pitching down. Is that a car that you can run the stock bumper on then?
I wouldn't.
No? Okay. Interesting. I've never seen one run that I can remember in specific detail run in any of the stock classes, and I'm sure if anybody's listening at home, they can send me a message and let me know where I did see it and I forgot about it. I've seen them run more in that limited weld style format like what you had your car in, and they do hold up well. They can do some work. The Pattons used to swear by them down there. And they did a lot of work with the rear ends to change the height of the back end. Sean Amon up this way, he ran a 75 Elite a couple years ago at Seneca County and was doing some damage to the front of that. The Elite, the nose on the Elite was a little bit longer. It was more along the lines of like a Torino. So the nose was a little bit longer, which changed your leverage points and things like that than what you maybe had with the wagon. But some of those still build cues carried over. And then Sean Gokenauer and Shane Hammond both swore by those for a number of years down there in Shenandoah County. There was a debate that was going on Facebook that I came across that was talking about that bumper, hard bumper, soft bumper. Do you want a bumper that bends in the middle? Do you want one that bends on the edges? And it sounds like with what you're doing with that car in the limited weld, perhaps even the softer bumper would apply there and have some value, where you're going to let it collapse in the middle and give those rails time to catch up with some of the speed and impact that's happening on track.
Well, on my car this year, I ran a pretty hard bumper because we put some Mopar shocks from the back of the bumper all the way to the A-arm.
Right.
To help stretch in there out, because that's where they bend usually first.
Right, you stretch out some rear shocks, right, and get them to cover all that ground.
Yep. But I ran a I took two pieces of 2x4 3/8 square stock, and I stacked them on top of each other, welded them together, and stuck a bumper skin over them. It's been bending pretty nice.
Does, I lost my train of thought there. We were talking about the bumpers and the hard bumpers and using the square stock. Do you feel that there's an advantage over doing that, by doing that versus loading something, like taking the stock bumper off the front of that thing and just loading it full of flat stock?
Well, on some of these Fords, they have a aluminum backing.
Yeah.
So you can't quite do anything with that.
Right.
And, I mean, loading it this way, it's a little bit cheaper. You don't have to go out and buy a bumper. Like some of these Monty bumpers and pointies and everything are getting pretty crazy money-wise. But, I mean, I got probably $150 in my bumper, and that's it. And that thing ain't going to bend.
The question I lost track of is, do you shorten the front end on that? How much material do you take out of the front frame to pull that bumper in a little bit closer to the core support?
I actually cut it all the way back to that first cross member.
Yeah, move that back a long ways.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly helped those shocks get back into the control arms, too.
Oh, yeah.
You made reference to your brother Anthony a couple different times, and you guys are from down in Walton, where you had a great group of drivers to watch for a long time. As Gary Tweedy made the call at the Delaware County Fair for years and years, and that track was almost, I mean, it was easily 300 plus feet long, but it was only about maybe six cars wide. It was real narrow, drag strip type of track. How'd you get into it to begin with? You know, you and your brother have been names that I remember hearing since we started this.
Well, actually, I started off when I was real young. My cousin used to derby all the time. He'd always bring cars up. We'd get them ready for the Walton Derby, and then finally one day I got the chance of getting a car pretty cheap and took it up to Brookfield and ran for my first time, and man, I've been hooked ever since. Anthony's my younger brother, so I mean, he's been right there beside me a whole step away, and I've been helping him with everything, and he's been helping me.
It wasn't necessarily the way that you want to get your first win, I know, over at the Otsego County Fair, but still there's a lot of legacy at that track, and to come away with the win in any division there is something to hang your hat on. What's the win mean? I mean, I know you said you wanted to see more cars out there on track, but nonetheless, it's still a win, and a win is a win.
Yeah, it's a win to me. I mean, I know it's a terrible circumstances. It was only two cars, and I know some people would just be like, well, come on, it was only two cars out there. But, I mean, we both had great cars out there, and one thing led to another. I heard that Adam Seward is the one I ran up against, and he ended up having some crappy luck there, and I heard he broke an axle and ruined a transmission line. But oof. That stuff happens sometimes, but we both gave it our all. I mean, I'm not disappointed, because we definitely ran these cars hard.
You said you built your own rear end in that as well?
Yep.
What was the rear end out of again?
Came out of a 2001 Chevy truck.
So what did you do to that? You said you did all your own bracing and things.
Well, I kind of built it like Postal Mopar, but on steroids, because I ended up not paying attention to the... I kind of looked at somebody's Postal Mopar quick and didn't measure it.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up making it way bigger than a Postal Mopar.
I was going to say, a Postal Mopar is a rear end on steroids, so I don't know how you put a steroid rear end on more steroids. That's got to be filling the arches completely at this point.
Oh, it does. The arches are filled, or it actually... The whole rear end is filled all the way to the perches for the leaf springs.
Yeah, so that's probably not going anywhere. You built this car that you've got now with what little it's moved in the front, and I think this was the third run on that car, second run on that car.
This is the second run.
Second run.
Third run will be down at Holmesdale Saturday.
And, well, I was just going to say is with that type of rear end and at the back's not going anywhere, and it sounds like the nose is holding up just fine. When you built this, did you anticipate having this be a car that sticks around for a couple seasons?
Oh, I definitely did.
Yeah. Well, mission accomplished, I suppose, huh?
Oh, yeah. Finally, build a car that ain't bent after two runs.
It's getting more and more common that you got to be able to lengthen out the duration of a car. I mean, get some mileage out of it, just because they don't come cheap as cheap as they used to. What's a '70s Ford go for these days?
Honestly, I've been getting lucky, must be, because I've been picking them up for about $300 to $400.
And you just made a lot of enemies, knowing that you're getting an old iron like that for that cheap. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a throwaway car. Yeah. Nobody's looking at that car saying, hey, that's going to be a good derby car. You got to know what you're doing and apply some of those build techniques so that it fits what that car is. So while other people are passing it over, you know, you might have found something. Have you got more of them at home?
I actually have another one. Yeah, I just picked up.
A wagon?
That's actually a two-door Lincoln.
Oh, really?
59, yep.
Okay. Well,
you just got that one for
$250. Are they local cars?
No, I definitely have to drive quite a ways to pick them up, but
still,
that's the main reason we've gone to these Fords is because nobody's really looked at them, and they're cheap, and they will compete with anything out there as long as you've figured them out a little bit.
It's all about time, and you can't replace seat time either. You know, I talked earlier a little bit about how if you have the budget, you can build it or you can buy it and you can put it together. But at the end of the day, if you don't know how to put it together and you don't know how to drive the car, you can waste a lot of money in a hurry. And with the protectors and stuff in there, start doing damage to blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Transmissions, things like that. It can get even more expensive even faster than you're prepared for.
Definitely.
You made reference to your brother, and you talked about your cousin getting you into it way back when. Is there anybody else that you wanted to make mention of that helped get the car out there and helped lead you to some success at Morris, and now you've got a car that you don't have to do a whole lot to in order to get ready for Honesdale?
Well, I'd definitely like to thank Austin, Holden, Smith, those two boys. Man, they're some hardworking guys, and they definitely they know their stuff. They've been running for quite a long time. They started off in four cylinders, and I actually Austin Smith's the one that ran over there at Morris when it was me, my brother, and it was him.
Right.
And I actually helped them guys out a little bit because they helped me out, and they built their car here. So that was the hardest part about running against Cody out there, because it was all three of us in the same garage building, and you don't want to hit your own guys.
Right.
Yeah, those guys are definitely a big help, and like I said, Mark Sicardi, he's helped me out quite a bit, showed me a couple things, and I mean, we've watched Pete Hansen out there. He's a pretty good guy. He's helped us out with quite a few things, and yeah, that's about it.
He'll tell you enough, but he won't tell you everything, right?
Oh, that's for sure.
Well, I'm glad you found some success. Good luck when you go down to Honesdale. Again, Honesdale, that is the fair that Spinning Wheels is overseeing this coming Friday, this coming Saturday. That's the Wayne County Fair down there in Honesdale, PA. Economy V8's paying $1,500 to win. Economy Compact's paying $1,500 to win. Limited Weld V8's $500 plus 100% of the entries. Full-size trucks, $500 to win. And the Compact trucks, $250 for first place plus 100% of the entries. You think you're going to see more cars down there in Honesdale?
I sure hope so.
Well, I certainly wish you the best. Hopefully we can find out more about how this win at Morris springboards you into a little bit of momentum, and you can find some success in Honesdale this Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully.
Anybody else that you wanted to make mention of?
That's about it.
Well, Austin, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. We look forward to doing it again.
Hey, thank you very much.
Good luck for the rest of the summer.
Thank you.
We'll see you later. Bye. There goes Austin Williams coming away with a win over there at the Otsego County Fair. We made a little bit of a reference there for you, letting you know what Spinning Wheels is up to this weekend. Looking ahead, we've got this on deck for Spinning Wheels. On September 11th, they're going to be at the GDS Fair in Newfoundland, PA. Again, just a reminder, Wayne County Fair is still coming up this Saturday. Economy V8 is paying $1,200 to win Saturday, the 11th of September, GDS Fair, Newfoundland, PA. Economy V8 is $1,200 to win. Compact's $1,200 to win as well. Bone Stock, $750 to win. GDS Fair is September 1st. Let me make that change before we get any further. September 1 for that one. There we go. Again, GDS Fair, September the 1st, Newfoundland, Pennsylvania. Economy V8 and Compact's both paying $1,200 to win. Bone Stock's paying $750. The Bone Stock 4 and 6 cylinders paying $750. Limited Weld V8's again, 100% of the entries. If he's got anything left, I wonder if Austin's going to make the trip down to Newfoundland, PA to try his luck in the Limited Welds there. The big one that everybody's paying attention to is at the end of the year, October the 6th. That is the San Filippo Smash. It's back at the Otsego County Fairgrounds in Morris. more than 200 entries. Bring the car, and the officials are going to find you some place to run. They're going to find you a heat. So if it's bone stock, if it's a fresh build, used build, limited weld, chain stock, you name it, they will find you some place to run. I think there was like 17 heats last year. It was insane. Anything left at the end is going to have a chance to run for the Sanfilippo Cup. There's a fundraiser. This event itself is a fundraiser for MPS3A Research. They have a goal of $50,000. I'm confident that they're going to make it. They've been putting a real focused effort on raising a bunch of money for that cause. It's a great derby. No entry fees, so to say. Nobody wins any money either. It's all prizes that are donated through the course of the summer for that. It's an awesome event. And I believe Josh is going to be working the microphone for that one again, October the 6th, the Sanfilippo Smash with Spinning Wheels Productions. Online for additional information, spinningwheelsproductions.com. We heard a couple of references to this one in our interview with Austin. Madison County Fairgrounds is the home of the Brookfield Wheel Day, September the 29th, 2018, Brookfield, New York. It's the annual fall cleanup event. You don't want to miss it. It is awesome to be at. Typically 150-plus entries, 14, 15 heats, plus a couple consolations. And then the features, they have separate features for the big cars and the small cars. And they do rollovers at the end of the night, which is kind of cool. There's an Imperials only heat. And then on top of that, they have the full-size trucks, the vans and SUVs run together. And again, they split it up. So the small sixes and the fours run together, and the big sixes run with the eights. But the big sixes and the mid-size eights run together. They don't get lumped in with the Imperials until the feature at the end. Online, there's additional information out there, facebook.com/kingsmashemcrashem, or online, madisoncountyfairny.com. Let's see. We'll do this one, too. We talked a little bit about Virginia. This is another place where you can see some of those mid-70s Fords that do so much damage. October the 20th, Cass in the Valley, 2018, Shenandoah County Fairgrounds in Woodstock, Virginia. The showtime is 5 o'clock. Compacts, stock V8s, modified V8s, and SUV class. The compacts are going to run heats and features. The stock V8s will probably run two heats before a feature. The modified V8s, they put everybody out there at one time back in April in the SUV class. It's where Steven Stickles won earlier this year back in April. And the modified V8s, to take Austin's analogy there with the steroids, it is bash for cash caliber build. I mean, modifieds is an understatement. They are absolute monsters. And they do pretty good in terms of the payouts, too. Last year, they injected a bunch of money in to raise it to $8,000 to win for that first place winner in the compact division. All of it goes to benefit Townsbrook Volunteer Fire Department. There's going to be a raffle car put together by Josh Wilkins. That car was raffled off last year, but the guy that won it already had a car in the feature, which they don't let you take the fresh car into the main event. You got to run the car that you qualified. So we got $1,000 cash in hand. That car went into storage, and now it's back out to be raffled off again. Online for additional information, you can jump on Facebook, facebook.com/chaosvalley, and find out more about that. And while we are on the topic of scheduling and things along those lines, August the 9th for Smash It Demolition Derbies, they're going to be at the Athens County Fair in Athens, Ohio, 7 o'clock start time. They got the Leaf Class, the Street Stocks, the Compacts, the Street Stock Full Size. Try that again. Leaf Class, Street Stock Compacts, Street Stock Full Size, and the Power Wheels all on the schedule there. And then on the 10th, the next day, Champaign County Fair in Urbana, Ohio, 7 o'clock start time, Smash Class, Any Year Wire Class, Street Stock, Compacts, Full-Size Trucks, Compact Trucks, Smash It Mowers, and Power Wheels. Again, start time, 7 o'clock there. August the 11th is the Ross County Fair in Chillicothe, Ohio, 7 o'clock start time there. Mild Weld Class, Compact Cars, Street Stocks, Full-Size Trucks, Power Wheels, and Smash It Mowers. August the 13th is the Meigs County Fair in Pomeroy, Ohio. 7 o'clock start for Leaf Class, Compact, Street Stock, Smash It Mowers, and Power Wheels. For additional information online, visit smashitderby.com. Well, we're talking about Smash It. Figured now would be a good time to do this. Blizzard Bash is right around the corner. We are inside of 90 days. I saw Candace had posted on Facebook just the other day. Activity is really picking up in a couple of the Blizzard Bash Facebook pages. A bunch of folks asking about the RC Derby. We hope to have more information on that next week with when we get a hold of Ed Brewster a little bit to talk about that. Brad Witt's going to be working on that one again. November the 7th is Heat Draws from 7 to 10. That's going to set the field for the national and the qualifying brackets both. November the 8th, starting at 4 o'clock, is the national and qualifying first rounds. And November the 9th at 5 o'clock is going to be the heat draws for the compact and limited well teams. At 6 o'clock, we'll start the on-track action with national and qualifying team round 2. November the 10th at 10 o'clock is part of the doubleheader compact and limited well team heats, the first round of heats for the compact and limited well teams. And then at 6 o'clock is all the Team B features, the trucks and the limited well one and done. November the 11th is Championship Sunday. All the Team A mains are on deck, in addition to the Bone Stocks and the 80s Mod class. Online for additional information, visit blizzardbash.com. We'll circle back to Stern Dirt Racing in just a moment. We're going to get Kerry Squires on the phone to talk a little bit about his win over there at the Marion County Fair. I didn't have to put that in quite yet. We're going to get Kerry on the phone. Kerry, met him a couple years ago. Hey, there's Kerry Squires. How's Kerry tonight?
Good, you?
I'm doing okay. This is Chris with the podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
For sure. I mean, congratulations on the win over there in Marion County.
Thank you. It was Medina County.
Medina County. Okay. I misspoke there. Sorry about that. But nonetheless, a good win to say the least, right?
Yep.
Car seemed to hold up all right for you. What's the build set like out there? We always joke about how Ohio being, you know, several steps ahead of the rest of the country. Was that more of a conservative build, or something that was on the extreme end of what Ohio's known for?
It wasn't like too extreme. That unfortunately, where I'm located, every surrounding county of me has a, like, depending on promoter, has slightly different rules. So I kind of try to build in the middle, so that way I'm able to take, if I get more than one run out of the car, I have more options of where I can take it and whatnot.
Yeah, it's always easier to...
You're allowed, like, loaded bumpers, doors could be fully welded, that reinforced suspension, and any tire. It's one of the more, like, built classes around here.
Sure.
Relatively close to Smash It, minus the cradles and the protectors.
Tell me a little bit about the feature itself. How'd that play out for you?
Well, in our qualifying heat, it was a three-man team show, three-on-three, that right off the rip, one of my teammates blew up his motor within, like, 20, 30 seconds into the heat, it seemed.
No.
So we're already down a guy. And then it was three-on-two. And then that ended up losing one wheel. Kept going a little bit later, ended up losing both rear wheels, and ended up finishing the heat and winning the heat on two wheels. And then come time for the feature, I was the only one of my teammates that was able to go out there. There was, I think, four teams, including me, I want to say. And each one of them had at least two to three people out there in the feature, so I was by myself. And then ended up somehow pulling off the win.
Did it seem like they ignored you because you were a team of one, and they just figured that attrition, you'd be one of them that fell out before they had to worry about it?
I mean, I haven't got to watch the tape yet. It was all kind of a blur. I pulled an all-nighter the night before trying to get the car done just to run there. I didn't even want to run there, honestly. My teammates had talked me into going, and so I barely got the car done in time, and then it ended up being worth it all in the end.
It seems like the team events are becoming more and more popular. Are you seeing those a lot at your county fairs where you're from?
I mean, somewhat. It's hit or miss depending on the year and where it's at, really. Like, I ran one, I think 2 weeks ago it was, at Lake County Fair.
Yeah.
The different promoter, different style rules, and there was a lower team count, but it was also a four-man team instead of three, which might have affected it, and we ended up winning there as well. It was a fun time.
You had a pretty good summer going for yourself.
Yeah, so far.
So far. The is there one in particular on through the course of the schedule that you really look forward to?
Coming up in about pretty much 2 weeks is my home county fair, Lorain County.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite one of the year every year.
How many wins have you got there?
Like one of how many wins do I have there?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I know you've had some
quite
success.
A few.
You've had some success there.
Yeah.
But they haven't. They haven't crossed over. Go ahead.
I've even won both shows there, like in the same day with the same car in the past.
That can win you some enemies doing stuff like that.
Yeah. That it can.
Are you
please everybody?
Are you planning on running at Erie County in Sandusky this year?
Yes, I'm actually working on that car right now.
Is that going to be a team event again this year?
No, they haven't done that since however many years ago. We won that team event too.
Yeah.
Team Boobies.
Yes, that's that is correct.
Yep.
That was a good time, but they. I understand that Sandusky's restructured a little bit and things have been going a little bit. They've definitely been on a positive uptick for those guys out there, which is good. I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, they have their team event. Actually, they do have one there again this year, but it's a full size. It's more like a stock build.
Yeah, they did that last year, right?
What's that?
They did that last year too, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty good turnout team wise. Good show.
We had
sounds like they're going to have a good amount of teams there this year. A
couple of the guys that we know from out in Buffalo.
I think even one or two from New York.
Yeah, a couple of the guys from out Buffalo way out in Dunkirk had gone down for that one last year. That was Eric Remington got hit pretty hard on the passenger side and collapsed his diplomat, but he nonetheless he persevered. I remember one of the first years they had that team format. They had the cars were built quite a bit heavier than what they're doing now, but I think they've hit on something, caught a little bit of lightning in a bottle, and folks have really responded to it.
Yep. Yeah. Stocker, the more stock everything's going, it seems to be the way. Less time, less work, and still have just as much fun. I personally like the stocker style rules, just because I always procrastinate and I'm always doing everything else but working on my car when I should be. Usually slapping something together and still building it at the Derby.
What do you prefer? I mean, you spend a lot of time in the compact side of things. What car do you prefer?
W bodies.
Yeah.
That I tried my first Camry this year. I still don't know how I feel about them.
Yeah. Jury's still out.
I like W bodies. I've had good luck with those because I started out in full size, and I'd run like a compact or two each year, and then full size started getting more and more expensive and more time consuming, and that I was going down to North Carolina to get just rolling shells and spending crazy money on those.
Right.
So ended up started running front wheel drive compacts, and then it snowballed, and now I'm running anywhere from 10 to 15 times a year.
And on top of that, you're doing appearances with Derby T still, right?
Yeah, sometimes. The Derby Sprinkles.
Yeah, so
crazy just, drunk bastard.
So did you ever think, at all your time around Demolition Derby, moving out of the full size, chasing around to get shells, finding that you like the stock builds better with the compacts, that at some point your face would be on a T-shirt?
No, even koozies and hoodies. It's like I get a kick out of it. I'm pretty random, and just it all started as a joke, and
right.
Then just kind of snowballed and took off.
Now, have you driven as Derby Sprinkles anywhere, or has it always been Kerry Squires?
I've always driven as myself. I've rode passenger as Derby Sprinkles down at Sturgis with Zach Krebs out of Wisconsin. Then I rode with him in Evansville, Indiana at Urban Destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the sorest I've ever been after a Derby. He's got a lead foot.
Is it because you don't have the control? Without having that pedal and steering wheel in your hands, you don't know how to brace for the hit quite the same way as when you're in the driver's seat?
Yeah, like you're more so prepared. Like, not that you see every hit coming when you're in the driver's seat, but you have a kind of, you know what your next move is, where you're going with the car. When you're a passenger, you have no idea what they're thinking or what they're going to do or so forth. And usually have one too many Bush lattes before I ride passenger, so. That might play a factor as well.
Well, I would think that makes you more relaxed. It makes you looser, so you flop around the passenger seat better.
Yeah, you would think, but the next morning tells me differently.
The feature itself out there in Medina County, going out there, by yourself. What did you have in terms of expectation? You had both of the rear wheels ripped off the car. How much work did you have to do in the pits to get the thing back together? And then what was your expectations out there on track?
That, well, I cracked my block in the heat. So, like, when we were getting ready, working on it before the feature, like, we were dumping water in, and it would come out just as quick right out of the head as we were dumping it in. So I was like, oh, great. Thought I was screwed for sure. And then ended up getting some rear hubs off a buddy's car so I could have four wheels going into the feature, because that's always better than two.
Yes.
I went three-wheeling at Erie County Fair a few years ago, showed up on three wheels there.
Yep.
That,
so how'd you take care of the motor?
Ended up just saying screw it, waited till the last minute to pull out there and dumped all the water in we could and just hoped I was going to be happy if I was able to make a few hits, but the thing just kept going, never did die, and ended up winning. I didn't know. I just figured I had to be quick on the pedal since I was out there by myself and wasn't going to have a whole lot of help or anything, so all played off.
Where's this rank in terms of all the wins that you've got? I mean, you defied a lot of odds there, a lot of work in the pits to put the rear wheels back on it, and then you had to fight the issue with losing all the water with a cracked head, and still nonetheless you came away with a win.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. Like, I honestly didn't expect it. I mean, you know, there's been wins in the past where you go out there and, you know, like, there's only a few cars out there and you're just like, well, this should be easy as long as nothing dumb happens and
sure
ends up panning out well. But yeah, that one I wasn't expecting anything. I was gonna be happy if I even got our team third place.
Right. What the rest of the team had to say to you
towards the end, there was one whole team still left.
Really?
All three of them, and then one or two cars from the other team that got third.
So there's a whole
those
team.
Two teams were busy going at it while I was tangling with some from the other, and
that allowed it to equalize up a little bit, so you had a shot at the end. I mean, was there any point where it was 3-on-1 or 2-on-1?
At the end there, that I want to say it was like 2-on-1 or so, if I remember right.
Yeah. Wow.
And then for a little bit there, there's three of them and one or two other people from the other team. I forget.
Jeez. I mean, you really had to.
It was mostly all W bodies.
Had to wheel it. It does seem like the Camry craze hasn't taken quite as strong a hold in Ohio. It seems like it's still heavy on Luminous when it comes to the front wheel drive stuff, the W bodies and the AMCs and Fox body Mustangs in terms of rear wheel drive.
Yeah. It varies. Like, anywhere you go across Ohio, really, because usually I run a little bit of everywhere, or go watch here and there and whatnot, and then like Southern Ohio seems predominantly rear wheel drive that dominates, and then up my way, like Cleveland area, Central Ohio is mostly W bodies. You go out Eastern Ohio, you run into Camrys, and I don't know. They both have their pros and cons in different ways.
Well, you've certainly got the Luminous figured out. The W bodies have been doing well for you, so I don't anticipate any changes, but who knows what will happen, right?
Yeah. As long as I can keep finding them, they just keep getting older and rustier.
Rust is good. Cause
I have to start going south for those pretty soon. That's going to be sad.
Rust is good. You get to fix rust.
Not me. I never have time. I'm always last minute, and that's just more work. I'm lazy.
Well, I hope you can keep finding clean stuff. It's always a lot of fun to watch you win, and I'm glad to watch you run, and I'm glad you were able to find some more success this weekend in the team show. Defied a lot of odds out there going out there as an Army of One, but it certainly did pay off.
Yep.
Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of here before we let you go?
No, I don't know.
Anybody that helps you at the shop that, or maybe that you could get to help you at the shop?
Kyle Reed and Reed Salvage. Yeah. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to run near as much as I do. That's for sure. They're always hooking me up with cars, and he lets me build over at his shop. And without him, I wouldn't run near as much.
It's good to have a guy that's got a scrapyard, right?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Kerry, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. Congratulations again. Good luck at Lorain County. It'd be nice to hear that you swept the day again there. And wish you the best of luck the rest of the summer. Look forward to seeing you again, man.
All righty. Thank you. Have a good one.
Good luck. We'll see you.
Thanks.
There goes Kerry Squires coming up with a win at the Medina County Fair. Good win for him. Getting ready to run on the 13th, I believe, in Sandusky. And then after that, a couple weeks, he could be looking forward to running the Lorain County Fair. Look forward to that one every year. So I'm sure we look forward to hearing some follow-up on how he was able to perform at those events. We got Corey Klug waiting in the wings. Before that, Stern Dirt Racing, they've got their next big show on September the 8th. That's the West Jordan Beatdown in West Jordan, Utah. $30,000 payout, four-man team derby, heavy iron and farm trucks on the schedule, 2 Imperials per team allowed. So that's going to change the dynamic a little bit. And September the 14th is the Day of Reckoning. That's the Utah State Fair in Salt Lake City, Utah. $50,000 in total payout, $8,000 to win stock class. The first 24 cars to pass tech get $1,000 back, $4,000 and $2,000 first and second place Mad Dog Awards. Online for additional details, sterndirtracing.com. Awesome show is taking shape over there at that Days of 47 Arena in Salt Lake City. Such a sweet, sweet facility. Josh and Ben were over there for the for Maymania, and then Wasatch Wipeout was in Heber City here just a couple weeks ago. But sure enough, good things going for Stern Dirt Racing. We're going to get Corey on the line here momentarily. And then after that, just to wrap things up, we'll run over all the winners from Morris, which we didn't do when we had Austin on the line. We're going to get Corey on the line so that we can follow up with him regarding his efforts over there at the Dixon County Fair. He was real proud of that win because he had Kenny Rosno on track as an adversary, so we'll be able to talk with him a little bit about that here. Hopefully we're – there's Corey right there. Him in and off we go. Corey, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. So, congratulations. Pretty cool to come away with the win there at the Dixon County Fair.
Yep, felt good.
Tell me about it. I mean, it was not an easy one, judging by your post on Facebook. Kenny Rosno is not a guy that's going to lay over for anyone.
Yeah, no. Kenny's he's the type of guy you always got to keep an eye on him. You never know what he's going to do. he's a hell of a driver, that's for sure. I mean, you know, that WFO on the side of his car, it's not there for nothing.
No, it's more of a warning than an advertisement.
Yes, it is, and, you know, anybody that's drove against him kind of knows that, too.
This was if I understood saying this right, this was the first time you've won Dixon County, and it's your hometown fair in 10 tries?
Yep, 10 tries it's taken me. It's a huge accomplishment to me.
What makes it so hard?
I mean, you know, I've went through a lot of years. I've had a lot of bad luck. This bunch of stupid stuff just takes me out, it seems like. But, I mean, usually the level of competition, you know, some of these Nebraska fairs is just unreal. I mean, it's just you got to come prepared. Otherwise, you know, you're going to get beat down pretty easy.
Where is the derby climate in Nebraska? You know, depending on who you talk to, with Missouri, Kansas, Indiana, Illinois, they give you very different stories depending on what the region's like. It always seems like Nebraska has been plenty strong, sort of following the lead of what Kansas is, a little bit of what Missouri's been doing, a lot of heavy built cars, a lot of that. I don't know if I would go so far as to say pro mod, but definitely weld style cars, a lot of new style iron. Where is it in your perspective?
I would say it's, you know, definitely in the top five in the country. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good drivers come out of the state. I mean, damn lot of drivers that, you know, run Blizzard Bash and
yes,
the Carnage and stuff like that are pretty well known, you know.
How about those guys from Team Black and White? Did you see any of them there? Dylan Lane, David Gockel, any of those guys?
I did not see them in Dixon. I did see that they ran a couple days later in a show near me.
That's another just a very short snippet of that long list of talented drivers and builders that are out there in Nebraska. It's no short order to come up with a win at any of the county fairs. It seems like maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago, people were starting to write the epitaphs for Demolition Derby in the Midwest. You know, Kansas was having some trouble. I remember Osage County was struggling a little bit. Some folks were saying that the car counts were down quite a ways, but it's almost been a bit of a resurgence. People are having the option of welding their Capital City Carnage cars back together. They've got their Blizzard Bash cars left over. They might not be fresh car derbies, and they might not be the explosive destruction stuff that we're accustomed to up here in the Northeast, but it seems like the derby climate's pretty healthy.
Yeah, and it's, I would say, you know, at the beginning of the year, the car counts were down a little bit, but I would say that they're starting to, you know, come back and rise a little bit. I mean, they're, you know, like you just said, with the all the different classes, so it's getting everybody kind of a chance to build to their liking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if someone doesn't want to put a buttload of money into it, you know, like a pro mod, or they can get into it a little bit cheaper, and that's, I think that's helping evolve the sport a little bit.
How about the compact world out there?
It's actually pretty big some places, and then some places there's only about four or five that show up, but the cars that do show up are very well built.
The compact rules out there, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much mirror what you've got in terms of the big cars, right? It's not like you're looking at chain stock compacts put next to these heavy built old iron, or excuse me, these heavy built full size V8 cars. Those compact cars are pretty stout as well.
Oh, correct. And the rules, yeah, they're pretty much exact same. You just take them with a mirror there, and there's very few changes in them.
That's cool. The atmosphere there is so different. It's always a lot of fun to go out there and get a chance to knock around and talk with some of the guys that run there all year long, what the builds are like, and just the mindset of it. Do you guys like that heavy stuff? I haven't come across many drivers that are looking to detune the builds and get them back down to that stock style that's so popular out here in Northern Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, and even further east from here, like Massachusetts.
We started, you know, pretty stockish, and then we kind of went to a mod car, and then we kind of went, now we're kind of going back down to limited that's not as much work. I only have, you know, a couple of guys here in the shop, so it's hard for us to keep up building these mod cars, you know. I mean, they're a lot of work. So we kind of save that stuff for, you know, some of the bigger shows that, you know, we can run some of the fancier equipment in. I mean, they're fun. There's just, you know, if you build them wrong, you're out a lot of work.
Yes, we've seen that plenty of times at Blizzard Bash, which you're getting equipment ready for Blizzard Bash now, which is only a short 3 months away. That those calendar squares are going to go by awful fast, I would think.
It's going by almost too fast already. Almost feel like I'm behind, but we'll get there. I'm not too worried yet.
And you're running on a team?
Yep, qualifying team.
Okay.
I'm on a Killer Transmission team.
Have you been on a team before out there?
I have not. This is my first to be my third team show.
It's a little bit different world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, looking at the rules and kind of looking at, you know, I've watched Blizzard Bash for, you know, the last 4 or 5 years and been trying to get on. And luckily I found some guys that were, you know, they gave me an opportunity to get on their team, and I just hope that I can prove myself down there.
How much is tied to running the individual classes at Blizzard Bash connected to being almost an audition to get one of those coveted team spots?
Oh, I'd say it's huge. You know, I ran Carnage down there this year, and I didn't have very good luck, and I kind of figured that was going to be my out for getting on a team. Kind of went out right away with rear end issues, but like I said, I would say it's a huge, huge addition. But
yeah,
I mean, like I said, I got lucky, so hopefully I can go down there and do my job.
You said early in the year the car counts were down a little bit. This was a county fair. You're in an area that's got a number of standalone shows. King of the Ring was one of the first ones that come to mind, and then Crash Fest Express has that one over, I think it was in Geneva, Nebraska, that was last year. You guys have some standalone shows. How long does the fair season run? It seems our fair season up here sort of starts mid-June-ish, and it's wrapped up by Labor Day, maybe the week after. So it's pretty condensed. What's your fair season like?
It's usually only about 3 months long.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, when we're running, we're packing in a lot of shows. You know, we're in the shop every night fixing cars, trying to get ready for the next show. Because, I mean, sometimes you might have a 24-hour turnaround, or sometimes you have a 3-day turnaround.
Wow.
You just got to keep going.
when you're looking at something as densely packed as that, now you're looking at it introducing the build for the Blizzard Bash car. You talked about running some of the more exotic stuff. Is that stuff saved for Blizzard Bash, or is it not allowed at your county fairs?
Some of the stuff is not allowed. Yeah. We kind of stick that stuff in the corner.
Sure.
But I'd say, you know, most of it, you know, our engine cradles, our rear end, stuff like that is allowed. It all depends on our officials. We have three or four different sets of officials within 150 miles, so they all have different rules.
Right.
So it's kind of tough for us to, you know, once we build for one, we got to kind of stick with that set of officials the whole year.
Right. So, I mean, that being the case, then, how different is the Blizzard Bash build as you approach that, getting ready for the qualifying bracket run this year, compared to running some of the stuff that's on the heavier side at the county fair level?
Quite a bit more welding.
Yeah.
You want to put, you know, a little bit more finesse in your builds. You want to... You know, like a county fair, sometimes you can get away with, you know, kind of fit, you know, half-assing something. But, you know, running a quality show like that, you don't want, you know, nothing skipped. You want to make sure it's 100% the whole way.
You've had the chance now to lock horns a bunch of times with Kenny Rosno. Let's focus a little bit on your win here at Dickson County. When it got down to you and Kenny, what was going through your mind? How was the car holding up? Where was his car at? Did you think at any point that you had it in the bag?
With Kenny, you can never have anything in the bag. I kind of knew he was having some reverse issues, and yeah. I was having some steering issues. Both my front tires are flat, and he took a track shot on me, and he hit me, and then I seen his bumper. He was against the wall, and at that time I was just hoping that transmission wouldn't come into reverse.
Yeah. Did you stay away from him, or did you pop him a couple times?
I tapped him a couple times. You know, me and Kenny, we go back. You know, he's one of those guys that you want to have on your side. You don't want to make enemies with him.
Right?
He will junk you.
That's there's no falsehood there. You want to make sure that he's not got the crosshairs trained on you when you come out onto the track.
Oh yeah.
This win, you know, what was the response from your family and stuff to be trying so long, to invest so much into being there, to know that you've got Blizzard Bash waiting on the backside of all this? What was the response from the rest of the team and everybody at home coming away with a win at your hometown fair? I mean, after a decade of trying, that's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, the support, it was just unreal. I didn't think there was that many people there watching. I couldn't even get out of the car, and I had people screaming and yelling congratulations, and the text message coming in. I mean, it was just, it didn't feel real, you know?
Right.
Now we got so much positive energy going into a show like Blizzard Bash, and that's huge.
I mean, how big is that?
Oh, dude, it makes me, like I'm floating on cloud nine right now. It just makes me feel good that, you know, we got some good equipment in the car, and it's holding up, so... I mean, this year we bought a lot of new stuff, so it was kind of the test year, and everything is holding. That makes me feel awesome.
Sure. That's a big part of it, man. Confidence is so much of it. How about your teammates? Your new teammates, what did they think about the win? And you know, are they able to share in this momentum as well?
Yeah, and we're in a big group message on Facebook through Messenger, and right away I posted on there that I took home Mad Dog, and I took the win, and they were just, you know, super excited for me. And I just told them, I said, guys, we just got to take this, you know, this positive in the Blizzard Bash with us and just go down there and do our thing. That's I mean, cool. they're very, very supportive guys.
Who else is on the team?
I got Josh and Cody Adams from Indiana and Anthony Jackson from Canada.
Awesome. It's a good group of guys too.
Yep.
We know Anthony quite well. It's a good group of builders. The list that you just said, is everybody then pretty much done with their county fair stuff? Are they done driving until they get to Blizzard Bash?
Yep, everybody is focused on Blizzard Bash right now.
Awesome.
We're done with county fairs. I actually got a buddy that's running my car to finish it off for me. And then me and another buddy are just kind of in shop working on Blizzard Bash ride.
Is there such a thing as finishing off one of those weld cars, or you just get bored of running it and cut it up?
Pretty much get bored and cut it up.
Well, that's fantastic. It's a good group of guys. Everybody's sharing in it, and you guys are pointing in the right direction going into Blizzard Bash. It's not going to be an easy road, but you know, we've seen some amazing things happen. I hope it works out for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I hope for the best down there, you know.
Well, what's the team goal? Just to make the qualifying A main, or is the goal to get that national bracket spot?
Well, you know, the main goal would be to get in the national. But you know, I think, I don't know how the other guys feel. I guess I really haven't talked to them. Making the feature and finishing well down there would be amazing. Right. You got a lot of. I mean, you got some of the best drivers in the country down there. Right. I mean, it's tough competition. So I mean, you know, anybody that makes feature in the team bracket down there is just, that's a damn good run.
It sure is. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but it'll be worth it if it pays off, right?
Yeah. Yep. I hope so.
Anybody else that you want to make mention of here before we let you go?
Oh, you know, not really. I mean, just want to thank everybody for, you know, for the support, and it's been a rough ride, but we're starting to get going now.
Awesome. Congratulations, man. I was real happy to see that you got that win, and you know, you got it over Kenny Rosno. It wasn't an easy one.
No, I mean, every time you get on track with him, like I said, you just got to make sure you have an eye on him.
Well, let's ride the momentum. Good luck at Blizzard Bash. Look forward to seeing you down there.
All right, thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
See you later, Corey. Take care.
Bye.
There goes Corey Klug, winner at the Dixon County Fair. As promised, we'll give you some results here that we missed in the first leg of the show. Morris on Thursday, the Bone Stock 4-cylinder, Andrew Goodspeed winning there. The Bone Stock 8-cylinder, Mitchell Fisher coming away with the win. And that one, Compact Trucks, was Team Road Rage Entertainment. Randy McCraby, Jason Sherman, Eric Mears. Full-size trucks, Tommy French won that. Jerry Madsen won the Bone Stock 6s. We also had action at Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Economy 8 team show, Phil Schell and Mike Klinger coming away with the win. And that, the compact team, Pete Hansen and Jamie Rake winning that. Pete Hansen's son still recovering from those burns. Glad to see that he's improving day to day. Bone Stock, Sean Highhouse winning there. In the youth class, it was Molly McLennan. Again, that was all at Honesdale. Sunday, back at the Otsuka County Fair in Morris. Again, all these shows, Spinning Wheels Productions events. Sunday, 1 o'clock show, Jerry Madsen winning the Economy Compacts. Full-size trucks was Anthony Curtis and Eric Eberling coming out with a tie. They split first place. Compact trucks was Justin Utter. The 6 o'clock program, again, at the Otsuka County Fair in Morris. Zach Shaw winning the compact trucks. Ladies heat was Kim McCoy. Linda Weld was Austin Williams, and the Economy V8 was Mike Graveland. That is going to do it for this edition of the Crash Course. We are going to be a little bit fluid next week, pending the results of this week's job interviews. We might be, hopefully, we will be at the Phelps Clifton Spring school board meeting on Monday for a board vote on the new position. Got my fingers crossed. Watch Facebook if you want to know more about it, or don't. That's fine too. I do have my fingers crossed on that. It'd be fantastic to get that change of pace, but we'll know more about that Monday. In the event that it's not, we don't have to go to the board meeting. We plan on being back on Monday. Again, just keep an eye on the Facebook page, and we'll keep you updated on the schedule. I think that is going to do it for us here tonight. Episode 237 in the books. We are now 9 episodes behind the 31st lap. The 31st lap is on episode 246. Both 31st lap and Crash Course approaching that magic number of 250. And they are now in order, 31st lap and Crash Course, the most episodes for any podcast on Finger Lakes 1, which is kind of cool to have both shows being 1 and 2 focused on motorsports. That is going to do it for us here. We appreciate the support greatly. Stay tuned next week for additional details on the Blizzard Bash RC Derby. We've got more stuff coming with Ed Brewster. He's got his big East Coast Nationals coming up with the RC Derby down in Midlothian. We've got an RC race we're going to be down there for at the end of the month. So a lot of stuff still coming as we move on. Oh, on the topic of RC Derby, Friday at Crystal Valley RC, there's an RC Derby down in Dundee. So if anybody has an RC Derby car they want to bring out, check it out. We'll see everybody down there. That's going to do it for us. We'll see everybody next time. Episode 237 in the books. We'll see you then.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And String Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.